Please turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 3. I'm sorry, Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, and we come to verse 10. We'll read from verse 10 through verse 20. Let us hear the word of God. And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. You and I desperately need a changed heart. That's a constant need, even as a believer. A changed heart. And so that hymn that we sang from Psalm 51 is a good prayer. Maybe you have committed known sin today. And so it's good for you to pray that. I say known sin because we've all sinned today. And so we need a new heart, a new attitudes, new words, okay, new thoughts, so that we will have new actions. But the root of it is always a new heart. We need a changed heart. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 12, found this verse scary. There, God says, "But they will say, it's hopeless. For we are going to follow our own plans, and each of us will act according to the stubbornness of his evil heart." They're saying that, actually saying that. It's hopeless. We can't change. And you almost read into it, we don't want to change. We're going to continue to act according to the evil plans of our own evil hearts. That's the predisposition by nature of every one of us. And so we need a changed heart. And that's what we do left to ourselves. It's hopeless. We're helpless. How in the world can we change? But we are commanded to change. You remember in Scripture? Many times the prophets said, "Change your hearts, turn, okay? Leave the wickedness and the stubbornness. Change your heart from being rocks to being hearts of flesh." There's two things there that points out to us. Not only must we not be stubborn, that is, having hardened hearts, but we must have hearts that are not dead, but alive. Our hearts are naturally dead. Not talking about our physical hearts, children, of course. But our spiritual hearts are naturally dead in trespasses and sins. And so we can't respond to the word and the beauty, for instance, of the eighth commandment. You say, "That's boring, the eighth commandment. What does that have to do? You don't get it." What? I've likened this many times in my own experience. I remember for me when the lights came on. That's like, wow, I see that. One of those, what we call them today, aha moments, right? Aha! I didn't see that before. Now I see it. The problem was not with the Word of God. The problem is with our hearts. This is our desperate need. And this is what Jesus is talking about here. You must have a changed heart. And so I think this text leads us to three questions. Think about these three questions with me. First of all, how can I have a changed heart? How can I have a changed heart from verses 10 through 12? The short answer is, how can you have a changed heart? It's only by the grace of God. How? By the sovereign grace of God. The key word here in this text is in verse 11. Look there again. He said to them, Jesus said to them, to you it has been given. Think about that word. He's speaking to his disciples, to you it has been given. What's that speak of? It speaks of grace, doesn't it? Grace. What is grace? Grace is a free gift. A free gift. Think about it. Jesus is saying, to you, my disciples, it has been given, in your hearts has been given this understanding. There you see how the heart and the mind are one and the same. It has been given the ability to understand and to respond to the truth. Now, what about those outside? This is an interesting passage, isn't it? Because Jesus is saying, I speak in parables, and one of the reasons I speak in parables are stories. One of the reasons I speak in stories is to hide the truth from those who do not receive it, cannot receive it. Wow. Now, if you think about it, that's common sense, isn't it? Because stories are great, but sometimes they're distractions, aren't they? They're distractions. I know that sometimes with some of you, and I like this, but I'll preach what I think is a powerful sermon, okay? And then as you pass by the door and you shake my hand and you say, I love that story. You'll talk about the story, right? What about the truth? I know what you mean. I understand that. That's great. I love having the conversation. But you see, the stories sometimes can distract. Now, the purpose of a good story, a good illustration, a good parable, is to shed the light on the truth that's given. But Jesus said, you see, they can't see it. They can't see the truth. Why? Because it hasn't been given to them. And here he quotes from Isaiah chapter 6. And I think it's useful to turn back there. Look at Isaiah chapter 6, if you have a moment. Isaiah chapter 6 is a wonderful chapter. Because here we see the holiness of God. And Isaiah sees this great vision of the holiness of God. And you remember how he responds, woe is me, as I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. Mine eyes have seen the Lord in his glory. And remember, he offers himself. He says, here am I. Who will go for us? God asks. Here am I. Send me. And then God gives him his mission statement. He says, okay, here's what I'm going to give you to do, Isaiah. You go and preach to a people who will never receive and never believe what you say. Wouldn't you love that? I'd be tempted to retract my offer. Here am I, send me. Oh, wait a minute. No, I can't do that. But look at what God says in verse 8. Here am I, said, I'm sorry, verse 9, verse 8, he says, here am I, said me. In verse 9, he said, go and say to this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. See, that's what Jesus quotes here. And then he goes on. He says, make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed. Then I said, how long, O Lord? That'd be my question too, wouldn't it? How long, O Lord, are you going to make me do this? And God seems to be saying here in verse 11, beyond your ministry, Isaiah, because I think he's pointing to the Babylonian captivity. And he said, until cities lie in waste without inhabitant, and houses without people, and the land is a desolate waste, and the Lord removes people far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land, and though a tenth remain in it, it will be burned again, like a terebinth or an oak, whose stump remains when it is felled. The holy seed is its stump. Here's a, I think in this context of understanding where Jesus is quoting from in Isaiah chapter 6, here's, I think, a helpful lesson for us in understanding how we get a changed heart. Think about it. Isaiah, you're going to have a hard ministry. And when will the people's hearts change? When they have a hard life. You see what Jesus is saying? Isaiah is saying, God's saying to Isaiah, how we get changed hearts is through the Word of God driven into our hearts through hardship, through difficulty, through suffering. That's oftentimes, isn't it? Think about your experience. When did you grow the most as a Christian? Perhaps it was, I bet many times it is, when things were hard. Because then you and I, we're not complacent as much as we are usually, and we are driven to cry out to God. God changes people's hearts through His Word, through many times hardship, through the chisel and the hammer that pounds away painfully the dross and the rough edges. Isn't that oftentimes what happens? I was dealing with that question just yesterday with my sons. As we were driving yesterday morning to a basketball tournament, and the night before, William had blown out his knee. And it was towards the end of a great game, and William was having a great game, a great season. And lo and behold, the coach called to me from the sideline and said, Aaron, get over there. And I knew that William was down and he was hurting, but I didn't see because I was blocked. But he was really writhing in pain. You know, there's pain and there's really pain. And he had grabbed his knee, and he was in pain. And he was crying and ran over there. And I said, oh, no, this is bad. And later, we helped him up, iced it, got home later that evening. And I did one of those tests that we do on the knee. And I said, oh, boy, this looks bad. And then explained some of the situation to him. And then I said, and then I was talking with the officials who were at that game again yesterday, and they said, as William was sitting on the sidelines the whole game, all the games yesterday at a tournament, and they said, yeah, we heard the pop. I said, oh no, not that. And it seems to me that it was a ACL tear. And I as William was asking me, Dad, what does this mean for the season? I was saying to him, I don't know, William, but it doesn't look good for the rest of the season. And I said, I know, we're tempted to ask why. Why? Why? Why this? Why now? Why me? But you see, God uses... Sorry, William. I didn't ask for your permission to use you as an illustration. Okay, but it's the rest of the people helps them. Because that's all that you'll remember, right? The story. No. No. But you see, God uses difficult things in our lives to drive the word into our hearts, to change them. That's what we need. That's the first question. How can I have a changed heart? But the second question, I think, here is, what can stop me from having a changed heart? What can stop me from having a changed heart? And I think there's three things here. First of all, is birds. Our birds. Now, you remember when we looked at this 2 weeks ago, this passage in verses 1 through 10, Jesus uses the illustration of birds. Birds taking these seeds that fall along the path, and the birds pick them up. That's what birds do. They pick up seeds because they like to eat them. Well, Jesus says that's an illustration of who? The devil. The devil. Look at verse 15. These are the ones along the path when the word is sown, when they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. Satan actually comes to people's hearts and steals the seed of the word from your heart. That can stop you from having a changed heart. Young people, I read these quotes to you in Sunday school, but these are some helpful things about the devil. John Blanchard said, the devil is usually good looking. Usually good looking. Not horns and a pitchfork. Someone said, Hugh Latimer, reformer, said, the devil is the most diligent of preachers. A.W. Tozer said, the devil is a better theologian than any of us and is a devil still. The devil is active and dangerous, and he loves to take away by distracting you from the truth, by taking out that good word and putting a bad word there instead, a rotten seed. He loves to pluck the seed of the word out of your heart. Notice, secondly, second hindrance, I think, is shallowness. Shallowness. The shallowness is not so much a hindrance outside of our hearts, like shallow preaching or so forth, but shallowness in our hearts. Notice the contrast, verses 16 and 17. Verse 16, and these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises, something happens to you outside of your heart, they fall away. But why? The problem is not the persecution or the tribulation. The problem is our hearts. Because the word, our hearts are shallow. There's a little bit of dirt there. A little bit of good soil, but most of it is rocky soil underneath. And so the word is able to take a little bit of root, but it doesn't really last. The heart is not really changed. And so it doesn't bear, the seed doesn't bear fruit. The problem is in the heart. Now, what is Jesus meaning here? I think if you just, I won't take the time to do this, but compare Scripture with Scripture in the other Gospels, and what he's saying is, you notice, he says, they receive it with joy. That's faith, a type of faith, at least. They receive it with joy. They believe it. They have a type of belief that they say, yeah, I believe that's true. But it doesn't really take root in themselves, and so it doesn't lead to change, real lasting change. What is that? They have a type of faith without true repentance. If faith and repentance are not joined together in your heart, then you won't have true faith, and you won't have true repentance, and you won't have lasting change. You remember what John the Baptist said? to the Pharisees, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. How are you going to bear fruit? How is your heart going to be changed? You have to truly repent. Truly. You know this, children, don't you? Yeah, we deal with this all the time. Say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Is that a changed heart? Yeah. I'm sorry. I don't really want to say it. See, Jesus is saying if there's not true repentance, there's not true change. So, shallowness. But third is chokers. Chokers. Look at verse 18. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Jesus lists three, and I think there can be more, but he lists three chokers. Three chokers to the seed of the word, taking root in your heart and changing your heart. What are they? Cares of this world. You know those. I don't need to explain them to you, do I? Cares of this world. It's hard, isn't it? Ah, how am I going to pay that bill? How am I going to pay those bills? How are we going to accomplish what we need? How am I going to get this assignment done? How am I going to do everything that I need to do? There's not enough time in the day. You see? We deal with that all the time, don't we? The cares of this world, be careful. The cares of this world do not choke out the things that are really important. And what's really important, really, really important, is the Word of God. The Word of God taking root in your heart. The deceitfulness of riches. Let me tell you something. Money lies. Money lies. Because you look at your bank, and I don't know about you, I rarely carry dollar bills. It's nice because my kids will say to me, you know, at a concession stand, "Hey, Dad, can you get this?" And they don't take debit card. No, I can't. You don't have any money? You have money? Oh, no. I don't have any money and no cash with me. Okay. Well, money lies. It will lie to you, whether it's in your bank account or whether it's in a credit card or whether it's in cash that you have in your hand. And the lie that it tells you is that it will satisfy you. And the Word of God won't. Don't listen to it. Don't listen to the deceitfulness of riches, Jesus says. And notice how broad he is in the next choker. The desires for other things. Desires for other things. Isn't that interesting? I said there are more. I'm sure there could be more chokers, but actually there's not. Jesus covers every one. The desires for other things. I was reminded when I was thinking about this of the song. I can't remember. Probably you can enlighten me. Song. I hear the chorus sometimes on the song player at work. I want what I want, what I want. You ever heard that? And I looked it up. I looked up that phrase, I want what I want and I want. And you know, about 100 songs came up. Because that's a common refrain in the songs of the world. Let me read one of them to you by Lauren Christie, I Want What I Want. Today, money, honey on my bread, sugar on my pillow, songs in my head. Head to the church, I love to repent. Say what I mean when it's not what I meant. Oh, I want to lay in bed on Monday wearing a diamond-studded hat. Live a good life, a full life, do it all again. Love a man forever who's a thousand man. I want what I want it now. I feel what I feel, don't bring me down. I know what I know, I don't know how, but I want what I want it now. That's what Jesus is talking about. I want what I want, the desire for other things. That's one of the ways, oh, the big ways that the Word of God, the seed of the Word of God is choked. And your heart is never really changed. Let me tell you, if your heart is never really changed by the Word of God, by the grace of God, through the Holy Spirit of God, you'll never be happy because you'll keep wanting and wanting and wanting. And you'll never have what you truly want. You see that reflected in that little song, don't you? Chokers. Chokers, beware. Well, thirdly, notice what happens when my heart is changed. Thirdly, the third question, what happens when my heart is changed? Look at verse 20. But those that were sown in the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit. See what happens? When your heart is changed, first of all, there's change. Right? There's change because your heart becomes good soil, where every other heart soil is rocky and thorny and full of hindrances to things growing. But when your heart is changed, it's good soil where the seed of the Word of God can take root. And by the grace of God, by the sovereign grace of God, your heart becomes a new heart. You actually have life, and it can bear good fruit. See, that's what happens. And so what's the result of that change? Look at the verse. But those that were sown in the good soil are the ones who hear the word. Everybody in these groups hear the word, but look, and receive it. Accept it. Don't fight against it. How's your heart? Is your heart like a wall or like an open gate to the Word of God? Which is it? By nature, our heart's like a wall and saying, push it away. No. Maybe I believe. No, no, no. No, I don't believe that. I don't accept that. There's other things that are more important. Is that the attitude of your heart? Or is your heart like an open gate that receives and accepts the word and the seed of God? Change. But notice also what happens. What happens when my heart is changed? I think secondly, we see a chain reaction here, don't we? A chain reaction. Because what happens? You have this fruit-bearing process that what? Increases, doesn't it? 30-fold, and it doubles to 60-fold, and then more, 100-fold. You see, it keeps changing. It keeps bearing good fruit. It keeps making progress. What about you? What about you? 2020, are you growing in the Christian life? I say many times every day, to people who say, oh man, I don't know, am I ever going to get over this? I say to them, where there's progress, there's hope. Here. Look at the progress you've made. Can you say that? I see growth. Oh, I'm not what I want. I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I should be. But there's growth. Where there's growth, there's life. And where there's life, there's always growth. What about you? Are you and I bearing fruit for the glory of God, by the grace of God, for the good of others? Bearing fruit. What is the fruit? We've talked about this. We'll talk about this more in the Gospels. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. That's what happens. That those bad things? Those bad things? What would your life be like if you had a little bit more patience and gentleness? Huh? What would mine be like? It's a good thing. See, that's what happens when the seed of the word is planted in a good, changed heart, and it brings forth good fruit. May God change us. Would you stand with me as we close in prayer? Let us pray. Lord, we don't do this out of tradition and out of rote, but we come to you and we ask you, because we need you, to change our hearts. Some hearts perhaps are hard. Make them soft and alive. Some hearts, the soil has too much junk, too much stuff, too many distractions. Remove those, root those out, so that the seed of your word can bring forth good fruit in our lives. Change us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.